Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26, this is the reading of God's Word. One day he was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. And some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were trying to bring him in and to set him down in front of him, but not finding any way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles with his stretcher into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But Jesus, aware of their reasonings, answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins have been forgiven you,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, get up and pick up your stretcher and go home." Immediately he got up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. They were all struck with astonishment and began glorifying God, and they were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen remarkable things today." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We thank you for your blessings upon us as we hear your word. We pray that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us will not only believe your word, but obey to bring glory and honor to you. Through your word, let us see what our Lord has done and accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we will see from the time of today's story, the story of Jesus Christ healing the paralytic, the conflict between the religious teachers of that time and Jesus become more fierce. John chapter 1 verse 5, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." This world fights with Jesus Christ, and that battle takes him to the cross. But the true victory belongs to Jesus Christ, but that reality is hidden to this world. As our Lord furthers the boundaries of his heavenly kingdom, the attack of the kingdom of Satan becomes more and more fierce. When we go to the chapter 6, this is what we read, verse 7. "The scribes and the Pharisees were watching him closely to see if he healed on the Sabbath, so that they might find reason to accuse him." Then verse 11, "But they themselves were filled with rage and discussed together what they might do to Jesus." See, Satan does his best to destroy the plan of God. He probably thought that he had just done that when Jesus was dying on the cross. But Satan was mistaken. The cross was the center of God's plan. It is through the death of Jesus Christ, Satan is completely destroyed. we see the truly amazing wisdom of our God. Well, let's look at our passage, verse 17. One day he was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. Luke just say, one day. As we have seen many times already, there are so many discussions of the chronological order of these events in the Gospels. In fact, the Gospels have these events in different order. If you read Mark, and if you read Luke, and John, and also Matthew, you will see that these events are told in a different order. But Luke's purpose in his Gospel is not to show you the exact chronological order of these events, but to witness who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus is doing and accomplishing. Thus, the chronological order of these events are not Luke's primary purpose or interest. And I'm not going to deal with this kind of issue in my sermons. And as you know, there are so many other things that the theologians are arguing about. For example, even today's story, we will see some men carrying a paralytic on a stretcher, trying to bring him in and to set him down in front of Jesus Christ. And when they failed to find a way, they went up on the roof and made a hole and lower him to Jesus. And verse 19 says that they let him down through the tiles. And most English translation has translated that word as the tiles. And many theologians, they argue that at that time, the tiles were not in use in this region. And why do they say it? Just to say that Luke just changed the story. Again, I'm not going to deal with these kind of arguments in my sermon. I say this because, you know, the commentaries that I'm reading and researching that I do, man, they spend so many pages on these kind of issues and forcing me to, you know, sometimes think that those are important because it's taking so many pages. And I realize that they are not important. Whatever is not helpful for us to know more of Jesus and what he is accomplishing, it's not important. And we'll move on, because you and I, we have no problem whatsoever accepting the Bible as the inerrant and infallible Word of God. And remember, you know, in the beginning, I used to bring these kind of issues to you, but more and more, I will not. And I'm just telling you, just in case you might, you know, hear this kind of stuff, and how come my pastor did not talk about it? Well, that is why I don't talk about it. But if you have questions on these things, talk to me. I did think about it. I read about it. You know, so I'm somewhat ready to answer your questions on these things. So if that's the case, please talk to me. Verse 37. And the report about him was spreading into every... Oh, what am I saying? Luke chapter 4, verse 37. And the report about him was spreading into every locality in the surrounding district. And in Luke chapter 5, verse 15, but the news about him was spreading even further, and large crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Why I read those verses? just to explain why in our passage we have verse 17, there was some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. Well, because Jesus, his report about him, it was spreading. Everybody heard about Jesus and he's getting popular. So the religious leaders, they sent people, many people, to investigate Jesus Christ. So in our verse 17, there were many Pharisees and teachers of the law. They're not there because they believe in Christ, but they're there to investigate. Here, the teachers of the law, in verse 21, they are also called scribes. These are the Pharisees, and their job was to study and preserve the law. And they study how the laws must be applied to their current generation. But they ultimately did not understand the Word of God, thus they rejected Jesus Christ. And our passage says, the power of the Lord was present for Jesus to perform healings. Yes, there are many religious leaders and only one Jesus Christ, but God the Father was with Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, and some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were trying to bring him in and to set him down in front of Jesus, but not finding any way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up to the roof and let him down through the tiles with his stretcher into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. I think it's not too hard to kind of picture in your mind what is happening. Just too many people, they have gathered to hear Jesus Christ. So there's no way for these men to get this paralytic to Jesus Christ. Now, Luke just says some men. In chapter 2 of his book, Mark tells us the same event, and there, actually Mark says there were four men. So four men on their shoulders carrying this paralytic. So they could not find a way to Jesus Christ, so they went up to the roof, and they made a hole in the roof. And on the stretcher, they lowered the paralytic from the roof in front of Jesus Christ. Now, first thing we need to realize is that we see in their action their faith. We could see that they believed that as long as they could bring the paralytic to Jesus, Jesus is able to heal him. And that's, in fact, what was happening. Luke chapter 5, verse 20, seeing their faith, he, Jesus, said, friend, your sins are forgiven you. And here, Jesus saw their faith, plural. And their faith includes the faith of paralytic. Yes, the faith of the sick person is important, but also faith of those who bring this sick person, they are also important. But we see that before Jesus heals this paralytic, Jesus says, your sins are forgiven you. So here you have to ask yourself, why Jesus connects the healing with the forgiveness of sins? Because this event is God's revelation. It is not the same as the stories of healing that happen today. These healings of today are not God's revelation, as I said numerous times. And they happen in the order of common grace. But the stories in the Bible are God's revelation. Thus, through the healing, it is witnessed who Jesus Christ is and the heavenly reality that Jesus Christ is accomplishing. As you know, the sicknesses in this world are the results of sin. Thus, being saved means ultimately we are saved from all the sicknesses also. Heaven is where there is no sicknesses. Psalm 103 verse 3, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Again, the pardoning of our sins and healing of all our diseases are put together in that psalm. Revelation 21 verse 4, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Seeing it this way, in our passage, the salvation from sin is witnessed through the healing of the sickness. But this is not true in the healings of today. Today, even God's people who are saved, thus their sins are forgiven, will get sick and even die. But in God's revelation, the salvation from sin is witnessed through the healing of the sickness. So you really need to distinguish between the revelation of God and just what happens today. And when you don't do that, then you get bad theology. This is how the reality of heaven is witnessed in this world at the time of Jesus. Thus, the order that we see in our passage, being forgiven of sins and then being healed of sickness, is the order of our salvation. As we live here on earth, our sins are forgiven. Then when we go to heaven, we will be completely and perfectly healed of all our sicknesses. No more any death, mourning, crying, or pain. See, this does not mean that God does not heal the sicknesses here on earth today. But God also heals the sicknesses of the non-Christians. Thus, God healing the sickness today has nothing to do with the true salvation. But in revelation of God, they are related. Verse 21, the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Here the scribes and the Pharisees, they are the true blind people. They do not recognize God, even though God himself is standing right in front of them. And this is how sinners are. They will never see the truth unless God makes them a new creation. Who is this man who speaks blasphemies? But as we know, Jesus is speaking the truth, not blasphemies. Who is able to forgive sins but God alone? Yes, they are speaking the truth there. Only God is able to forgive sins. Thus, Jesus is God. If Jesus is not God, then he is truly blaspheming, and then he truly deserved to die forever for his sins. But Jesus is God. God came, but the sinners reject him. Luke chapter 5, verse 22, but Jesus, aware of their reasonings, answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? This also shows Jesus as God because Jesus knows their thoughts. Luke chapter 5 verse 23, which is easier to say your sins have been forgiven you or to say get up and walk? Well, I ask you, which is easier? To say your sins have been forgiven you or say get up and walk? See, saying your sins have been forgiven you, that cannot be proven. Thus, anyone can just say that. Because how the other person gonna say, but that didn't happen? Well, it's not something you could show. Thus, anyone can say that. Of course, to say it without being God is too blaspheming. However, to say, get up and walk, you are able to show whether what you said came true or not. Thus, in these terms, to say, get up and walk is more difficult. But, we know only God is able to say both. Thus, when Jesus says, get up and walk, and the paralytic walks, then Jesus is saying, your sins have been forgiven you is also the truth. Thus, Jesus Christ is a witness as the true God in our passage. And in verse 24, Jesus tells us the purpose of healing the paralytic. But, so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he says to the paralytic, I say to you, get up and pick up your stretcher and go home. See, Jesus Christ has the authority to forgive sins. But when we read the rest of the book of Luke, we see how that authority is given to him. He bore all our sins and died on the cross for us. That's how he received that authority to forgive our sins. Luke chapter 5, verse 25 and 26, immediately he got up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. They were all struck with astonishment and began glorifying God, and they were filled with fear, saying, we have seen remarkable things today. As Jesus Christ accomplishes the salvation of God, the whole human race is divided into two groups. The people who give all the glory to Jesus Christ and the people who hate Jesus Christ. So what is the message? What is our passage all about? Well, in our passage, we see those men bringing the paralytic to Jesus Christ. And in them, in that whole story, we see the true picture of the church of Jesus Christ. It is our picture. We see our reality of salvation. First, the paralytic. He cannot come to Jesus on his own. Exactly our reality before salvation. We are all spiritual paralytics. And just like the paralytic in our passage, by God's grace, we too were brought to Jesus on a stretcher by God's people. You need to see yourself in that paralytic. That's how you came to Jesus. Don't ever think that it was all on your ability that you came to Jesus. We would like to say that we came to Jesus in an impressive way. Impressive even to this world. But that was not true. Maybe that's why there are so many Christian testimonials, so-called, telling us how impressive way they came to Jesus. How Jesus saved them. No. You were just like this paralytic. Could not do anything on our own strength. Just lying on our backs. Could not even move. Spiritually, that was how you were. The sickness, the spiritual sickness has paralyzed us completely. That's why the grace of God is so precious to us. We didn't do anything. We're just lying there in the condition of fallen sin, and we couldn't do anything. Salvation of God is by God's grace and God's grace alone. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. And on a stretcher lowered by the other people. And I want you to see your reality in that you and I have been lowered. You and I have been humbled. And we understand that. We understand that is our reality. We have been humbled. But what we do not understand is why Jesus Christ has identified with us in this humble state. He humbled himself. Philippians chapter 2 verse 8, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. To see that in terms of our passage, to save us, Jesus Christ made a hole in heaven and lowered himself to the lowest point of this world. But unlike us who were lowered but given salvation, He, Jesus, bore our sins on the cross, and just like the paralytic, could not move but to die for our sins. That's the difference. Yes. It's self-paralyzing. He bore our sins. So our salvation is to participate in His self-humbleness. And I also want you to see our reality as the Christian in men who are bringing the paralytic to Jesus Christ. It is the picture of the church, these four men. You and I, who are now healed, we now carry others to Jesus. The church brings the spiritual paralytics on the stretchers, carrying them on its shoulders to Jesus Christ. And you need to see yourselves in those four men. That's what you do, even though you forget and you don't do that. These four men, we come carrying this paralytic to Jesus, but we come with faith. We are so certain that our Lord will heal them. Do not say, even if I bring that person, he will not believe. Do not say, even if I bring them, that he will not understand. Because to make him believe and make him understand, that's not your job. Your job is carrying that person and bring that person to Jesus. That's the picture of church. You must trust that Jesus Christ will heal them. And just like in our passage, sometimes you will find all kinds of obstacles when it comes to bringing that person to Christ. But you must never be discouraged. Even if you must make a hole in the roof, you cannot give up. You have to bring that person. And you and I, we are no longer the paralytics. We have gotten up. And by the grace of God, we walked just as Jesus said to us. That is also your reality. So I want you to see yourself, see the true picture of the church in this story. And when you see yourself in these men, what are they doing? Which tells you what you should be doing. Brothers and sisters, Jesus just does not just put these kind of stories for random reasons. There's a purpose. He wants you to know who you are. He wants you to know what Christ has done for you so that who you are now because of what Christ has done for you. And you must follow. You must do what the Word shows you. Yeah, I hear often, you know, we preach the true gospel here in this church, and that you wish that other people will hear it also. Yes. You got to carry those people so that they may hear the gospel. Always trusting that Jesus Christ is able to heal them. Brothers and sisters, carry them on your shoulders. Because that is the picture that God shows you who you are. See your present spiritual salvation reality in our passage and diligently spread the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your revelation. Thank you for showing us what Christ has done and what he has accomplished for us and showing us who we are in Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, let us live according to your word. Because our life is not just about making money and eating and drinking, but it is to do your will. It is to live for the glory of God. Oh, Father, let us live for you, for your glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.